If you would this morning, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 62. Surprise, I bet you thought I was going to say Matthew. And as the Lord leads, we're working our way through the book of Matthew, and I believe very confidently the Lord has led us to Psalm chapter number 63. I stand corrected. Psalm 63 this morning. If you'll look there in God's Word with me, we'll read this passage of Scripture together and ask God to show us some truths that'll help us this morning. Psalm 63. Today's message is titled, How to Deal with Disappointment. How to Deal with Disappointment. And it comes to all of us in different forms and fashions and different ways. And we'll talk this morning about how to deal with disappointment. Psalm 63, if you'll follow along there as we read this psalm together, all 11 verses. The Bible says in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on His Word. Father, we ask now that You'd meet with us, that You'd show us these truths. Lord, Your Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would do the work of the great physician in our hearts and heal us and help us today to honor You with our lives. Teach us today to deal with disappointment. According to Your Word, speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just begin here in verse number 1. The Bible says, O God, Thou art my God. Now, David, the writer of this psalm, begins this with a very strong statement and something that I hope is true for you. Do you know that God does not have to be some untouchable thing? God is a personal Savior, and God desires to have a personal relationship with you. And at a very low moment in David's life, the way he began this pleading of his soul, the way he began to address this dealing with a great disappointment, the first thing out of the gate, he said, O God, Thou art my God. I want you to know something. If God is your God, if Jesus is your personal Savior, there's nothing you ever have to face alone. You can have it and deal with it in the presence of God. David said, O God, Thou art my God. What's David dealing with? I'm telling you, this was a deep wound that David was dealing with on this day. I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, right below Psalm 63, there's a title. A lot of the Psalms have a title. And in this title, we can understand some of the context. The Bible, my Bible says here in this title, it was a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, David, at this point in his life, he had been the king of Israel for a number of years. What in the world is the king of Israel doing in the wilderness of Judah? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'll let you know. He had a son. David had a son. His name was Absalom. He was a very talented young man, but he became a great rebel. And David was the king, and his son Absalom was rising in power through the ranks of the kingdom. And Absalom decided that he didn't like the way the old man was doing things. And so what he did is he gathered up a group of people and he led a rebellion against his father. On one day, David was seated on the throne of Israel. Now you can just imagine being a king, the king of Israel. You get what you want when you want it, how you want it. And David was the king of Israel on one day. And eating what he wanted to, doing what he wanted to, leading and ruling the kingdom according to God's will. But his son Absalom, with a heart full of rebellion, gathered up enough people that they were able on a certain day to force David, his own father, off the throne of Israel. David literally had to tuck and run for his own life. his own son desired to take his own life. Can you imagine the heartbreak? And now David has ran from the throne of Israel into the wilderness of Judah. He's hiding out with a broken heart, thoroughly disappointed with his son, thoroughly disappointed with his situation. No doubt on that day, some of David's men who had turned and fought and tried to honor their king had lost their lives. And David is sitting in the wilderness of Judah with a broken heart, disappointed, devastated at the circumstances of life, dealing with disappointment. The first thing he tells us is, "O God, thou art my God." You know the hope that David had? David's hope was he had a personal relationship with God. "Oh God, thou art my God." Secondly, he says here in verse 1, "Early will I seek thee." You know the first thing he did? He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord in his time of great distress. He went straight to the Lord. The Bible says early. In my Bible, I've put beside that first, because early is first. The first thing he did is he went after God. He sought God. In your time of great disappointment, seek the Lord. He says, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." He's devastated. His heart is broken. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." He says, "Oh Lord, this is a situation that only you can remedy." By the way, when you get yourself in a situation that only God can remedy, you're not in a desperate situation. You're in a situation that has a bright hope, because God is alive and he's on the throne and he's working on our behalf. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." This is all introduction, but verse number 3 is a phrase that's very fascinating to me, and it helps put things in perspective. David says, "I'm sitting here in the wilderness of Judah and my heart's broken. I'm thoroughly disappointed. I'm uncertain of the future." He says, "But here's what you've put on my heart, God. You've put in my heart to write these words. Thy loving kindness is better than life." Better than life. You know, most of our greatest fears, most of our greatest disappointments, most of the greatest troubles that we ever deal with are things that revolve around life. They revolve around life. How many of you have realized that my life is short? Folks have been telling me since I was just a little boy, the older you get, the faster it goes. And I agree with them. I'm learning it firsthand the older I get. Life is brief. But David said, "You know what? I'm brokenhearted on this day. There's something I know to be true. Something I know to be true about my God. That my God's loving kindness is better than life." On this day when this psalm was written, David, his life, the circumstances of his life had changed drastically. But he says, "You know what? I have a hope that far exceeds the experiences of my life. I have a hope that far exceeds the relationships in my life. I have a hope that far exceeds any ambition that I've ever had in my life. I have a hope that's rooted in something that no man can take away." He says, "God, your loving kindness is better than life." He said, "There's something better." He said, "Because," and I believe because David began to look past the circumstances of life and to get a fresh glimpse of eternity and what really matters. Eternity. He said, "Lord, I'm going to make it through this with your help, because your loving kindness is better than life." And quite frankly, a lot of our burdens that we bear have to do with life. Life. When a child is sick unto death, there's a certain helplessness that we all have, because life is out of our control. When someone we know and love is tragically killed, there's a certain emptiness and a fear that just overwhelms us, because guess what? Life is out of our control. But we can have a personal relationship with the very person who has all of life in control. And David said, "Thy loving kindness is better than life. better than life. You see, if you'll make God first in your life, you'll understand that there's something better than life. There's something beyond life. There's something to look forward to and something to glory in and something to rest in. It is the steadfastness of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you deal with disappointment? Number one, praise the Lord anyway. David said, I'm looking around. I'm in the wilderness of Judah. I'm all by myself. What do I do? He says, Lord, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Look what the next verse says. Verse number 3. My lips shall praise thee. Verse number 4. He says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Two things happen in the wilderness of Judah to begin this passage of Scripture that are unusual. But there's something that we ought to put to practice. In a moment of David's deepest despair and most saddened moment, a moment of great disappointment, what did David do? Sit in the wilderness of Judah and kick stuff and punch trees and throw dirt and stomp and kick and whine and moan and bellyache? And I believe God's understanding of those times when we have to throw a little, we throw a little temper tantrum. Don't do it at anybody. Quite frankly, what did David do? David said, in spite of my broken heart, he says, I'm going to praise the Lord. He says, I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. You don't want to change your life? Start your day every day asking God to show you something to be thankful for. Amen. It doesn't take long to go, fresh air. This morning I sat, I prayed over this message and studied. I thought, thank you, Lord, for a clean, safe place to live. Thank you, Lord, for running water. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful family. Thank you, Lord, for enough health and strength to do what you've called me to do. Thank you. And the list, I mean, you start praising the Lord, you start thinking about what you've got to be thankful for. Before you know it, the things that are wearing you out, the things that are burdening you down, they begin to pale in comparison to what God has done for you. David said, you know what? In spite of the fact that this is a terrible situation, I'm going to find something to thank God for. Amen. It isn't always easy to do, but I'll guarantee you this. If you'll begin to thank God in your time of great disappointment for the things that you do have, you'll begin to realize that you've got lots to thank Him for, and God is still faithful, and the same God that's proven Himself faithful in the past will prove Himself faithful in the future, and you can begin to rest in the doubts and the disappointments and the heartache that is so real, it'll begin to pale in comparison to the blessing and power of God. How do you deal with disappointment? Praise the Lord anyway. I remember standing by my grandmother's bed and a pastor that I know and love, we prayed together. And he prayed a prayer. Normally, when the way that I believe it's designed is people lead us in prayer, and us Christians, as folks lead in prayer, we're to follow. But I happened that moment to be listening to his prayer. And he thanked the Lord for something. He said, Lord, I thank you for the treasures that we have in Jesus. And I thought, well, this is a sad moment until I begin to think about the treasures that we have in Jesus. That bed and that deathbed was not the end because of the treasures we have in Jesus. This life and all of its burdens are not the end because of the treasures we have in Jesus. As a matter of fact, one of the treasures we have in Jesus is I call Him Father. Oh, what a loving Father we have. You know what David did? He said, I'm disappointed. My heart's broken. My own son is out to take my life and my throne. He says, I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to praise God anyway. How do you deal with disappointment? Number one, praise the Lord. Number two, how do you deal with disappointment? Plan on the Lord's goodness. Plan on the good Lord's goodness. We're all planners to a certain extent. And some folks plan very positively. Some folks plan very negatively. Some folks, your life's verse is Murphy's Law, and it's not even in the Bible. Some of you plan for the worst. This is the end. Everything's, this is always the big one. You remember that? I want to show you what David did. Now look, yesterday in this passage of Scripture, David was seated on the throne. And I've got a mental picture of somebody dropping clumps of grapes in his mouth. And on this day, he's seated in the wilderness of Judah, can't trust anybody, doesn't even know where his next meal's coming from. And here's what he says. Verse number 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. What's he say he's going to do? He's not eating grapes right now. He's seated in the wilderness all by himself. He says, God, my soul will be satisfied. Does the word satisfied come to mind as you're dealing with your disappointment today? I want you to know something. It can, and rightly it should. Satisfied. He says, my soul shall be satisfied. He says, I'm going to praise you with joyful lips. Does joyful enter into your thinking when you deal with the troubles of life? It may not, but it can. And it's appropriate. It's right because we can rest in the fact that God will satisfy the yearning of my soul, and God gives us joy in spite of the storm. David said, hey, I'm just going to plan on the Lord's goodness. The Bible word here says, my soul shall. He says, it's difficult right now, but I know for a fact there's coming a moment when my soul shall. I'm looking to the future knowing that God is going to be faithful. What was he doing? He was planning on God's goodness. Plan on God's goodness at your time of great despair. Just plan on the fact that God is going to satisfy and God is going to give me joy. The Scripture continues, and the Bible says this in verse number 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now, David connects these things. He says, my soul shall be satisfied. My lips shall be joyful. He says, it's going to happen when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now, I want you to know something. God doesn't expect you to rest in nothingness. He gives us something to rest in. Here's what David was resting in. Do you remember David as a little boy? You remember the story of David, the shepherd boy? He was the son of Jesse, and he tended sheep. There came a time when David, tending sheep, heard an awful ruckus and stands to his feet and realizes what it is. A lion had come to harm the sheep. David, with great courage, faces the lion. He gives testimony later to the fact that God had helped him to slay a lion. Later, tending the same sheep, another ruckus occurs, and this time it's a bear. Later, David gives testimony to the fact that God had helped him, a shepherd boy, kill a bear. Now, the significance at the moment when God helped him to do those two things were unknown to David, but later in David's life, he's standing on a battlefield and he's heard Goliath cursing his God, and he said, I'll tell you something, with God's help, I'll go face that giant. They said, you're just a young strapping guy. You can't do that. He's a man of war. David facing that great battle, what did he rest in? He said, I don't know, guys, about you, but there was a time back when God helped me to conquer a lion, and God helped me to conquer a bear, and because I know God has proven himself faithful in the past, I'm resting in this moment knowing that God will help me conquer this old giant who's cursing my God. And David stepped out on the battlefield. He took 5 smooth stones. He only needed one. And slung that sling, and the stone hit Goliath square in the head, directed by the hand of God. He fell to the ground, and victory was won through the power and blessing of God. And now David is in the wilderness of Judah. What's he resting in? He says, I'm just going to lay here, and I'm going to remember a lion and a bear and a giant. And who knows how many other ups and downs and burdens that he'd borne through the years that God had proven himself faithful through. And he says, you know what? At this moment, my heart's broken. I'm disappointed. But at this moment, I'm remembering what God has done in the past. And I'm planning in this moment of despair, I'm planning on the fact that God is going to satisfy my soul. I'm planning on the fact that God is going to turn this trial into a blessing, and there's going to be goodness that comes out of this moment of disappointment. That's what he planned on. Folks, I want you to know something. How many of you have ever seen God prove himself faithful to you in the past? Would you say amen? Amen. He can do it again. He will. You're here today. Let me say that again. How many of you would say, I've seen God prove himself faithful in a time of trial in my life? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Or you can put it down. If you're here today and you can't raise your hand and you're just beginning a relationship with God, go off the testimony of the people around you. God has been faithful to them. God was faithful to our character in the Scripture today. David, God has been faithful to me. And I'll let you know something. If you'll begin today to put your trust in Christ, you can rest in His faithfulness for the future. What did David do? How did he deal with disappointment? He praised the Lord. How did he deal with disappointment? Number two, he planned on the Lord's goodness. He said, I just know God is going to be faithful. Number three, how do you deal with disappointment? Pursue the Lord and not the enemy. Pursue the Lord and not the enemy. Look what the Scripture says in verse number 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now, I want you to put yourself in David's shoes for just a minute. His son, that knothead boy of his, had done the most foolish thing that you could ever imagine. It was heartless. It was cold. Absalom disregarded every kind and good thing that his father had ever done for him. Absalom dismissed the fact that just because he was the son of the king that he'd had the opportunity to be where he was. Absalom had sinned against every goodness that David had ever done. And David has time to sit in the wilderness and stew about it. I'll just be honest with you. If this happened to me, my first reaction, I'm afraid, wouldn't be spiritual, but it'd be fleshly. If I get my hands on that boy, I'm going to wring his guts out. If I can get my hands on him, he'll wish he'd never seen me. He'd never been born. If I can get out of this wilderness, I'm going to track him down if it's the last thing I do. Isn't that our spirit sometimes? What happens when somebody does you dirty? It'll happen to you. If it hasn't yet, it'll happen to you. And it'll happen again and again and again. If somebody does you dirty, what do you want? Revenge. I want you to know something. Revenge is not a Christian principle. When you get it yourself. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If it were me and David had the power that he had, I'd be thinking, I'm going to get that kid. It's going to be bad. But that's not what David did. David set a perfect example for us. In his time of great disappointment, he didn't seek revenge. He didn't seek vengeance. He didn't seek some type of cause that would prevent this in the future. He didn't get angry and mad and say, I'm going to do something that makes a difference, that changes this situation. He pursued hard after the Lord. My soul, verse number 8, followeth hard after thee. What do? Pursue the Lord, not the enemy. Pursue the Lord and not the enemy. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was a photographer for like a National Geographic type thing. And he was sat up in a far distant park out west where there were a number of grizzly bears. And he'd set up in the perfect spot to see wildlife in their natural habitat. He'd sat up next to a big pile of trash. He said, "I'm sure I'll get some good pictures here." The story he tells goes like this. He says, "I sat there on that pile of trash waiting for something to come to get something to eat. In waddled in." You can see him waddling in, right? A skunk. In waddled in this skunk. The skunk waddles in and he's elbow deep in trash, living it up. In just a little while, as the skunk continues to eat, in crawls a big old grizzly bear. The grizzly bear comes near the skunk, and the skunk rolls up on his head like he's going to spray him. The grizzly bear growls and backs off. The grizzly bear tries to come around another way and get on another section of the pile, and that old ornery skunk turns around like he's going to spray him the other direction too. And this little exchange goes on and on till finally the grizzly bear just growls and hadn't had one bite of trash and walks away and leaves the skunk to his treasure. Now, here's a question. If a skunk and a grizzly bear get in a fight, who wins every time? A grizzly bear. Hey, look, if I want to get in a fight with a skunk, I think I could take him. Who wins the fight, a skunk or a grizzly bear? Well, the grizzly bear every time. But I want you to know something. That old grizzly bear exhibited some great wisdom that day. You see, he could have got even. He could have evened the score. But the bear was respectful to the high cost of getting even. Folks, I want you to know something. You get angry and upset with the disappointments that life throw, and you go pursue after some type of revenge or some type of fulfillment of your flesh so you can just kind of, maybe you can feel better and make somebody else hurt a little bit. I'll tell you something. You may make some progress and you may conquer and you may whip that skunk, but I'll just tell you something. You'll walk away from your trash pile with a stink on you that may never come off. You see, it cost a whole lot to get even. And David said, "My heart is broken, but I'm going to do something that will make a difference. I'm going to do something that will help me. It'll help my son. It'll help this situation. It'll help the people around me." He says, "I'm going to pursue hard after God. And I'm going to let God deal with the enemy. And I'm going to let God get the vengeance. And I'm going to set the desire that I have in my flesh to get this even. I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to give it to God." And I believe in my whole heart at that very moment that David had a sense of peace in his heart because he'd obeyed the Lord. How do you deal with disappointment? Praise the Lord anyway. How do you deal with disappointment? Plan on the Lord's goodness. How do you deal with disappointment? Pursue the Lord and not the enemy. I've been encouraged this week by a Bible story that I want to share with you as we conclude. I think it goes along very well with this message and the situations we find ourselves in life. How many of you have ever faced a situation and you thought, "Why would a loving God allow this? Why would a loving God allow this?" And I don't claim to have the answer to every situation. But I want to share something with you that God used to help me this week. Do you remember in the book of Acts, it's chapter 3. The day of Pentecost has just passed. Jesus has ascended into heaven. The gospel and the age of the church is alive and well. Preaching's going out and people are getting saved. And Peter and John have made their way to the temple to pray. As they make their way to the temple to pray, there's a lame man there. And the Bible says of that lame man that the people brought him there every day. The understanding that we can get and we can draw from the whole story, because the whole place, everybody around there was amazed when the lame man went walking and leaping and praising God through the temple after he got healed. Peter and John walked by that man, and no doubt they'd walked by him many times before. And on that day, God impressed on their hearts. And Peter looked at the lame man. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk." I go to this passage of Scripture a lot. I love it. The Bible says that that man received strength and strength in his ankle bones and his legs, and he stood up. I can see him trying on his new legs. Oh, my lands. I'm standing. He takes a step and he walks and he's leaping. And the next thing you know, he's praising the Lord. A giant crowd of people gather around because they're like, what in the world just happened to him? Whatever happened to him, it's substantial, it's real. And they gather around, and Peter preached that day, and 5,000 people got saved. It's awesome. Here's the part of that story. A little thing to think about in that story that has encouraged me this week. The same temple gate that that man had sat at for who knows how long was the same temple gate that for a number of years, Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh, Himself, even during His ministry, Jesus had walked by the lame man. Time and time and time again, He'd walked by him. He'd walked by him as the all-knowing God that He was, knowing that that man's suffering. That man is struggling. Jesus walked by with compassion and burden in his heart, knowing that that man stood in great need. But day after day, year after year, who knows how many times, Jesus, with the power to take that burden away, had to walk by. Did he walk by and not heal that man because he hated him? No. Did he walk by and not heal that man because he didn't care? No. I can just imagine every time that Jesus walked by, being the compassionate Savior that he is, his heart broke over his burden. I can see the hurt in his heart, but I can also see as Jesus passes by a little smile or grin on his face, understanding and discerning the moment and the situation that man was in, discerning the situation, understanding that it, hang in there, buddy, it won't be long, and you'll understand what God is doing with your burden. Jesus passed by who knows how many times, knowing that if I heal him now, the greatest purpose that I have for that man's life cannot possibly be fulfilled. And the burden that he bears will be worth the glory that God has planned for his life in the future. Jesus knew as he walked by that one day that man will walk and leap and praise God through this temple. And thousands of people, because of the work that God has done in his heart through his time of trouble, thousands of people will humble themselves and confess their sins and get right with God and have everlasting life because they put their faith and trust in Jesus. And so Jesus just kept passing by. But he didn't pass by without a heart, without a love. But he passed by and he saw the trouble and he said, God will use it. Paul understood that when he said, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Paul understood that when he wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Our light affliction, which is just but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's the truth we find from God's Word? God is working on our behalf. In our times of disappointment, I'd encourage you to do these three things. Praise the Lord anyway. Plan on His goodness. Pursue the Lord, not the enemy. God's loving kindness is better than life. Rest in the Lord when you're dealing with disappointment. He's faithful. He's been faithful. He'll continue to be faithful. Rest in Jesus. Let's pray.